Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Deuteronomy. If you're becoming familiar with your Bible, that's the fifth book of the Bible. Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. I'll begin there at verse number 7. We'll read responsively down through verse number 12. So if you'll join me on verse number 8. Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. Please stand with me. And I'll begin there at verse number 7. Of Deuteronomy chapter 32. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste, howling wilderness, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you now. Lord, we're thankful for all that you've done, but Lord, we ask that you please be with us in this service tonight. Pray, Lord, that you please meet with us, be with the special music. And I pray, Lord, that we prepare our hearts for the preaching. Be with the preacher as he speaks. I pray, Lord, that you please give him the power, Lord, that he needs. I pray, Lord, that you please just speak through him. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Snow, I stand. Word. Amen. That was wonderful. Thank you for that. It's a blessing, wasn't it? Amen. Bless my heart. I want to speak tonight out of, I'm going to refer to this text here and give you the context of the Scripture, but drawing your attention to verses 11 and 12, where the Bible talks about eagles. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. So you see that as an eagle in verse 11, so the Lord in verse 12. And I want to speak tonight on the subject, getting the eagle ready to fly. Getting the eagle ready to fly. Let's pray together. And our Father, we do praise you for the precious Lamb of glory, Jesus Christ. Oh my. Oh my, whoever we be without the sacrifice of your Son on the cross, we'd be of all men hopeless, well nigh hopeless. So Father, we're thankful for Jesus who came and gave his life so that we could be saved. How different our lives are because we're saved tonight. And now I pray that you'll please help us as we look into your word. Thank you for the book. Speak to our hearts from it. And may you help us to have a good service in Jesus' name. And amen. The Bible is not a zoological, that's a big word, isn't it? I've been working on that for several days. Zoological book. In other words, it's not a book of zoology. But it is. I could have said that, but I like zoological better. So anyway, it is zoologically correct. Okay? Zoology is the study of animals, and when God talks about animals in His Word, whatever He says about them is correct and right, because this is a book of truth. Here's one for you, ornithology. If anybody knows what ornithology is. Ornithology is a branch of zoology, which is the study of birds. Okay, so it's an offshoot of zoology. And it's dealing specifically with birds. Again, the Bible is not a book on ornithology, but it is correct about birds. You understand what I'm saying, okay? And if you go into other sciences and so forth, agricultural, it's not an agricultural book, but it is correct agriculturally. And so it because it's truth and it is good and right. So in this passage, God uses the habits of the eagle to describe his dealings with his people, particularly the nation of Israel. He says that in verse number 9, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. So he's talking about Israel here. He says in verse 10, he found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. This is referencing or referring to the nation of Israel being in the land of Egypt and coming out of the land of Egypt, of course, through the blood of the Passover lamb and becoming a nation, going through the baptism, if you will, of the Red Sea crossing. And then after that, for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness and God took care of them. And so that's a reference to that. Moses here reminding the people before they go into the promised land about the fact that God led Israel and God instructed Israel and God kept Israel as the apple of his eye. And they still are the apple of his eye, always have been and always will be. So he's talking about Israel. And then he says in verse, you see there, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. And then he says in verse 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. So God worked with the nation of Israel like an eagle works with those in his nest. And so he uses the workings of an eagle to describe what happened with the nation of Israel. It's interesting. One, and I'm sure you've heard messages maybe or read Bible studies on this subject before, but one conservationist said, of all the birds, the baby eagle is the hardest to teach to fly. And one thing that they say, one reason that is because their nests are so high. I don't know if you've ever been where there's a bunch of eagles' nests. Was it last year? I think we made just a quick trip out to, when Cherith had a day off school, we made a quick trip out to see John and Marilyn when John had been so sick with the blood clots and in the hospital, and it was winter. And he said, let's take a trip back over. Right across, you go right across on Highway 34, into Burlington, Iowa, and they're about 8 miles over in Middletown. He said, let's take a ride back over into Illinois. There's a lock and dam off of 34, just north of 34, before you get to the Mississippi River. And the water, of course, it was really cold. Much of the water was frozen, but the water at the lock and dam, there's too much turbulence. It doesn't freeze. And he said, I think the eagles are there. And people, I am not exaggerating or embellishing when I say to you, there had to be 1,000 eagles, bald eagles, at that lock. Am I exaggerating? I am not. We counted in the hundreds just perched in trees, not counting the ones that were flying in the air, diving down and fishing where the water was not frozen and taking the fish out of the water. And you could see there, in some cases, you could see their nests. And their nests are way, way up there in the tops of the trees and usually right along the riverbed, right along the creek bed. Okay? And we stayed for an hour, and we just watched and the magnificent bird, of course, the symbol of our nation's liberty and freedom, the national symbol. And, so this nest is way up there. So the eaglet is up high, way up there in the top of that tree. Now, you know, we have birds every year that build nests in the trees that are on our property at our house. And we have some soft maple trees and some elm trees that are just absolutely a disaster. It's the dirtiest tree, I think. They're either elm or ash, and I think they're elm, and they're just dirty trees. The limbs break off, and they just make a mess. But anyway, I don't know why I'm saying that, but they just do, and I'm aggravated at it. But, the nest, a windstorm comes, like we've had 2 or 3 windstorms this spring and summer, and after every windstorm, there's a nest on the ground. And if it's early in the spring, there's broken eggs. And if it's further enough along in the spring and early summer, then there are baby birds on the ground. But they only have, you know, they only fall 7 feet. You know, they're right there. And if they, when they fall, they land on a soft bed of grass. You know, sometimes I run over them with the mower, and it's not a pleasant. I don't do it on purpose, kids. Okay, I'm sorry, but it just sometimes. One of those tragedies in life, I guess. I don't know, but they just run over them. And so, because I don't see them. They're in the grass. And they've fallen down. They can't fly yet because they got pushed out of the nest before it was time to fly. So usually it's safe when they fall into a grassy area around the house. But, you know, if you take an eaglet that's up there atop of the trees, and that baby eagle falls or lands awkwardly, it's on rocks or it's in swift moving water, and that's dangerous. And so it looks dangerous to the eaglet, and it is dangerous, and he has no desire to leave. It's safe in the nest. It's secure. And the comfort zone of that nest, can he fly? I'm not going to find out. I'm going to stay put. And so I'm not going to go anywhere. That's he's thinking, I'm not going to get out of the nest. This is safe up here. So the mother eagle takes things in her own care. And the Bible says, look at it in verse number 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. Now, the Bible is not an ornithological, it's not a book about birds, but it is bird correct. You're with me, right? It's bird correct. And so here's the mother. She stirs up the nest. And you got this soft bed of down and possibly leaves that have been softened over time. And, you know, the twigs are there. And she stirs it up. And they got those talons. And she walks along that nest. And she breaks up the twigs. And she breaks up the limbs. And she turns the leaves over. And she just makes the nest completely uncomfortable. And in some cases, breaks up the twigs so badly that there's a hole now and the wind can blow through there. So where everything was comfortable for that eagle, that little eaglet in the nest, everything that's been warm and secure now is no longer that way. So the security of the nest has to be torn apart in order for the eaglet to consider flying. Okay? Now, sometimes God has to stir up our security in order to get us to launch out into the next step of faith that he has for us. And that's what he's saying here. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, so the Lord. So the Lord works with the people. He works with people. Like an eagle works with her young and works in the nest. And so the eaglet is there. The nest is uncomfortable. What was once secure is now no longer secure. But he's still at home. He's still in the nest. And so the next step is the mother makes it less comfortable. And it's exactly what she says. The Bible says, fluttereth over her young. So she spreadeth abroad her wings and fluttereth over her young. And so the eagle hovers over the nest and hovers over that young bird and just flapping. Have you ever seen the wingspan of an eagle? It's huge. In some cases, it's over 6 feet, I guess they say. And the draft that fluttering of the wings creates. And then she stops, and then she flutters some more. And then she stops, and then she flutters some more. And the little bird in the little eaglet in the nest, or the several of them, they cannot escape the fluttering. Everywhere the little eaglet turns in the nest, the uncomfortable fluttering is going on. And these are the wings that were for the babies, the little eaglet's protection, and now they're causing discomfort. It's not secure, not comfortable. And the little eaglet is wise and he's smart. And so he takes what they said, the articles that I've tried to reference, they take the first opportunity they can to crawl on their mother's back. Now they're on top of the mother's back, up by her neck, if you will, and the wings are flapping and doesn't bother the little eaglet up there. And so he thinks he's gotten wise and gotten away from the discomfort, but that's exactly what the mother intended for that little eaglet to do. Now with the eaglet perched on his mother's back, the mother, look at it, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. She takes off in flight with that little eaglet perched on her back. And she's going to make that eagle fly. We're going to make him fly. And that's what they do. It's called getting the eagle ready to fly. This is how God treated the nation of Israel and planted her, took her from the land of Egypt, if you will, through the wilderness into the promised land where the nation of Israel began to fly on her own. And then a prediction of what would happen later in the promised land is in the rest of this chapter as you read through it. That little phrase there in verse 15, but Jeshurun waxed fat. Jeshurun is a term of endearment about the nation of Israel. And they forgot God. You know the story when they got to the promised land. They forgot God. But God, like an eagle, stirs the nest and works with her young. So the Lord works with the nation of Israel and brought them into the promised land. And, you know, folks, God still operates that way with people. He operates that way with people individually today. He stirs up the nest. As an eagle stirreth the nest, so the Lord works with people. That's how it happens. Now, obviously, I'm telling you that for a reason tonight. I'm going somewhere with this, and you're sitting there thinking, what's this all about? But I have to tell you that God has stirred the nest of one of our own people, and it's time for that eagle to fly. So, I don't know the way to tell you, but God has worked in Brother Caleb's life and heart, and it's going to be time for him to fly. And he's going to be moving to take his home church as the pastor. And this has been a very difficult stretch for him. And me. But I have a peace in my heart, full assurance that he's doing the Lord's will. And I would not keep him here if I could. It's hard for us to imagine, as hard as it would be for us to imagine this, for him to stay here out of the Lord's will would not only be detrimental for him, it would be detrimental for us as a church. And I can't know the workings of God as far as a person's like. I know what God did in my heart some years ago, and as we sat and talked over these weeks, it's obvious that that the Lord has been working on his heart in this way. And so last, he was gone a few weeks ago, and people, I didn't try to hide anything from you. I didn't try to keep anything from you. I've not operated that way in 23 years here. There's no secrecy. But we did not know how this would end. And I did not want to come, and he didn't want me to come and throw a false alarm. Maybe he's leaving, maybe he's not. Because he had no desire to go anywhere. I think it's pretty obvious from how he served here these 8 years. And so we waited to make sure it was the Lord's will. And he received a very strong call, 93%. It's very interesting. Memory serves me correct. 23 years ago, the vote was 52 for me, 4 against. 56 voting people. There were 59 voting people in Rochester. 55 for him and 4 against. So both of us are going to live the rest of our lives wondering who those 4 people are who voted against us. We ever find out, it'll be... Church is almost identical in size to what this one was when I came here. So, as an eagle stirreth a nest, so the Lord works in hearts. In some ways, it's an honor that God would reach down in our membership and move somebody off to take a church like that. So, Brother Caleb, you want to come? I want him to come and just say a word tonight and just speak his heart to you. He take as long as he wants, but you come say a word. Caleb, he would love you.
This past year in missions conference on Tuesday night, Dr. Ed Johnson was preaching. And standing right over here. And he was preaching on... I'm doing the Lord's will, and the Lord just spoke to my heart, and I could not shake it. I came down to the altar, and I started praying. And I couldn't finish the prayers down here, so I went out and into a place where I like to pray at night. And the Lord started stirring my heart, like preacher said. And then over the course of many different events that have taken place, the Lord has, I've tried to fight against it. I really have. But I've come to a place where I know it is best for me to just surrender to whatever God has. And I know that will be the best for Faith Baptist Church. It will be the best for me. Even though my heart's here. And I want to say I've enjoyed every day of working here and getting up in the morning. And I can't wait to get into the office. I can't wait to do what the Lord has placed on my plate that day. And I love love working with my pastor. He's not my boss. He's my pastor. I love him. I love him. I love the fellowship. And but I know it's God's will, and I know I must act on God's will. I'll say I've loved every day serving here at the church and serving you people. The church is you, and God has given me the privilege of being able to train with you people, and I love it. I love it. I thank you so much for your kindness, and I just ask you to pray for us as decisions are made and as the journey begins. The Lord gave me a verse in Proverbs 20, verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? That's the way I feel. I don't understand. I don't understand, but I know God's leading, and so I must surrender and I must do God's will. And I ask that you pray for me. God, give me wisdom, and I know that I'll be praying for you, and God's way is the best way.
I don't believe he is overstating when he says he's loved every day of serving here. That's not an overstatement. Makes me sick. I have never seen him have a bad day. Ever. In 8 years. Remarkable. It's remarkable. I know a little bit about what he's going through. I had to leave. A pastor and a group of people that I love to do. And was worked with for 10 years to do the Lord's will. And, but I've never looked back on that decision. And I think God has validated that it was the right move. And I'm sure he will validate this with Brother Caleb going to Rochester. He and his wife have been an unbelievable blessing to a lot of people. A lot of people. And it will leave a hole, but it should. And I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do because I did not prepare for this. This was not in the plan. But it's not taking God by surprise. And I did not want to start making moves only to have him decide that it's not the Lord's will. So I'd appreciate your prayers, but not the majority of your prayer right now needs to be for him and his family as they begin to make this transition. And it's going to take place pretty quick. Church in Minnesota has been without a pastor now for a while, for a few weeks, months. And I want you to know, and I hope you can tell this, there's not an ounce of discomfort between he and I working together. For some years, I did not have a son here. And nobody will ever take the place of Ben and Luke in my heart. But in the years that I didn't have a son here, Brother Caleb was like a son to me. I hope that doesn't offend you. So, there's not an ounce. Problem. I think he's the best bus director in America. I've not said that just here. I've told other people that. I believe that with all of my heart. So God has a plan for Brother Caleb, and like the eagle stirs the nest, the Lord stirs a heart, stirs a man, stirs a person. And I want you to pray for him, and I want you to help him all that you can. Now, he is here this week. They go to Texas to see Emily's parents for a week. Their vacation, they're going to have to shorten it by a week. So they will go to Texas to spend a week with her parents. Because when he gets there, the work is waiting. And that will be the last week of July. 29th, and then he'll come back and they'll have to tie up all the loose ends. The last service they'll be with us is 3 weeks from tonight, August the 11th, and we'll have him preach that night and share his heart, and we'll have to say see you later. I don't like goodbye. See you later. That's my message tonight, because if I had told you this and then tried to preach, you wouldn't have listened to me. If I had preached and then told you this, you wouldn't remember anything I said. So I just thought, sometimes you just got to roll, go with the flow, amen? Just make this the message. But I do want to say this tonight, Oh, and by the way, listen, I know, and this happened. Everybody starts saying, boy, I need to get with Brother Caleb and have him out to eat. I need to have him over to the house. I need to take him out to eat. And they would love to do that. And what he does is his business. But just speaking from having gone through this, their time is so short. And we have to be mindful of that. Help out any way possible. I knew there would be tears. But our tears are better than the tears in some places tonight. And I spent 50 minutes on the phone with him, trying to help a pastor last night who's in his pulpit now in a distant state. And there's horrible tears there. Tears for much worse reason than our tears here. These are the tears caused by working with a co-laborer and God's will. But they're a lot better tears than what we could experience. Thankful tonight that we're not having to discuss a failure of some sort and having it end that way. His first activity here 8 years ago was Vacation Bible School. It's his first activity. We planned it over the phone, and they rolled into town, and a few days later we kicked off Vacation Bible School. It was his first activity, and so I think it's quite fitting that his last activity was Vacation Bible. That's kind of been his heart as those kids over these years. And went his souls to Christ. So,